You are listening to Affirmations for Living with Edvige, where each week you're invited to join in our upbeat discussion as we look deeper into spiritually based principles that can change your life. We know that change can open doorways to new beginnings, and we are dedicated to helping you make the changes needed to improve your life. And now, here is your host, Reverend Dr. Edvige. Our planet has shifted her focus of perception to a higher dimension, unknown to those who follow the paradigm called imperial materialism. That is, they believe that only what can be perceived by our physical senses is real. Earth is a sentient being of archangelic stature with a physical body, just as we have a physical body and a soul. We, the inhabitants, are in the process of following her. So my guest today is Philip Collins. He's a multidimensional background into being one of the co-founders of the Angel News Network and founder of Modern Day Mystery School as a teacher, life coach, author, poet, filmmaker, and healing arts, light ascension therapist, addressing the balancing of our emotional, mental, physical bodies during this transformational times. And as a conscious channel, he receives messages and wisdoms from various higher realms, which are empowering and are reflected with his endeavors. So I want to welcome you in once again. I am Reverend Dr. Edvige, and of course, you are listening to Affirmations for Living. And you are loved and appreciated for being here. For as I say, each and every week, there are a million other places and things you could be doing. And so your time is appreciated. And once again, if you enjoy what you are hearing, please share it with your friends. And as always, please visit my website, affirmationsforliving.net. Download my app called Awakened. And check out all the things that are going on. So, Manpower, God Power is Philip's latest book. It's a reference tool of various higher realms teaching to assist in our personal and collective processes of moving into higher frequency existence. All of this sounds really fascinating. And Philip, I know you're there, so please come on in because we need to just go ahead and start.
Okay, good evening, everyone. It's great to be here and with like-minded and like-spirited people. I can feel all of our energy integrating and joining together. And I salute all the great work that you're doing, Gal, and all of us joining in communities of equality, harmony, and balance.
Well, thank you. So right out the gate, who is Philip Collins?
Well, you sort of did an intro. I came to New York City and went into the advertising business and working for Young and Rubicam Advertising, and then went into NYU, New York University Film School, and was fortunate to have people like Martin Scorsese be my teacher, and then created three or four of the largest commercial film studios in the world, working with Ridley and Tony Scott in London and Paris and in America. And then eventually started working with the Lucas Organization, the George Lucas Organization with Industrial Light Magic. They wanted to enter into the advertising commercial film industry because after motion film, it was the second largest film endeavor in the world. And mm-hmm. So we brought that digital technology into the world. We launched things like Apple Computer with Steve Jobs, bringing the personal computer into the world, and just really taught the world digital technology. And simultaneous to all of that, I was, as an avocation, was studying with Dr. Herbert Phil in New York City, who was Commissioner of Mental Health at the time, acupuncture and homeopathic pharmacy, and had a real interest in energetic healing. And more and more the call came to make the shift from business, if you will, and really taking my work into the resonance of healing arts. And mm-hmm. You know, when the student's ready, the teacher appears. And I had these wonderful teachers, particularly a guy named Robert Baker, who's a trans channel in New York City, who really taught me healing arts and energetic healing in addition to the acupuncture and homeopathic pharmacy training that I'd had under Dr. Phil. And more I just through that training began to connect with the frequencies that were teaching us, the archangelic realm, the star realms, the intergalactic realms, the inner earth realms, that were all here, as your introduction points out, connecting with Gaia, with Mother Earth herself, and just sort of became like a broadband radio connecting with the frequencies that were here to move us into another dimension of reality, a higher frequency of reality. And so I put together all these things in my business background, all the things that you listed, being an author, being a poet, being a filmmaker, being a businessman. And I just began to marriage, you know, working very well in the 3D business world with working with other frequencies. And I began to realize there weren't a whole lot of people doing that, that crossed over. So that's really who I am. I marriage and mingle what is happening actually in the world quite effectively with these other frequencies and connect the two and have them communicate with one another. And that's what Manpower God Power is about, one of my latest books. Within it is a continuum of a lot of frequencies that I've connected with teachings and messages to help support us. And each chapter sort of stands independently, but collectively you get a whole blueprint for this ascension process. And everything I've written is that way. All the books that I have done, it's all about that.
Wow.
The first book that I did was Coming Home to Lemuria, an Ascension Adventure Story. And that was where I was led to put together a sacred journey to Mount Shasta and have a group of service proxies for humanity and help make affect the shift. And now that's been adapted into a stage play and soon a screenplay, going back into my background. So it's all sort of connecting now.
Isn't that interesting how one step takes you to the next, and then you're in this place where it all seems to be coming full circle and back together. So if I were to ask you, why are you here? I know that sounds like a loaded question because there's so much, but why would you say you're here?
Well, I'm here the same reason that all of us are here, is to take my talents and gifts and go into service to the world, go into service to the we, you know, healing the narcissistic me of me, and the wounds and defenses I've created around those, the defenses I've created around those wounds is to heal that as much as possible, to go into service to one another and to serve that, to serve the planet, to serve all of us upon and within the planet. And that's why I'm here. And the work that I'm doing and the writing and the teaching and the organizations that I'm co-founding are all within that mission. And I think we're all joining in that. Probably a large part of your audience listening now is resonating with that as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, and isn't that what it's all about, being of service? As these masters, we come in and we truly feel the call to do our part, and however it unfolds for us individually. So what would you say then is your soul plan?
Well, the soul plan is to help to affect the shift.
Okay.
To consciously affect the shift, since I've been given these gifts and talents to really connect with these other frequencies that are helping support us. They can't interfere with our freedom of choice and freedom of will, but they can certainly support us and assist us in preventing us from harming ourselves or one another. And so assisting in that reality that this is the time, it's the blueprint is activated for us to move into another form of existence. When we look up into the night sky and we see all those stars were all once planets, not unlike our own, that went through an evolutionary ascension process, not unlike the one that we're going through, to become beings of light, thus imparting everything upon them as a being of light. And that's where we're headed, and just guiding people through that process. We're in the throes of creating our final golden age.
And, you know, and that's truly intriguing. We've shared a little bit in a conversation, so you know where, you know, some of my points. But explain what the golden age is. It's the next, it's the permanent golden age. But what exactly is it?
Well, in order to answer it, you need to examine what the past ones have been and why they didn't work.
Okay.
So this is called the seventh final golden age. It's the teaching that comes from these higher frequencies. So there's been six previous ones, ones like names like Lemuria, like Atlantis, like early Egypt, Hopi, Mayan, Aztec. And I'm talking about the early components of those civilizations, not the later versions of them, which became corrupted, not unlike our present state of affairs. Mm-hmm. So all of those were guided by these higher frequencies that I and thousands like me all over the planet are connecting with, and we're just showing the way for everyone beginning to connect with it all the time. So the difference between this one and the ones in the past is this one is the final one, it's the permanent one. So in order for it not to have a demise, unlike the ones in the past, and the reason they did have a demise is because they lost the connection to the higher frequencies that were emanating them, that were maintaining and sustaining them. The human mind said, oh, I've got a better way. I can do it my way, instead of allowing the guidance of those frequencies. So what we're in the process now with this final one is healing all of those components. I mean, Atlantis was a very sophisticated civilization, much more sophisticated than we are now.
Mm-hmm.
But the ego got in the way, and they had the ability to destroy the planet. So they were demised before they did that, because they had the capacity to do it. So now we're healing all the things within ourselves, you know, the narcissistic me, if you will, so that we can move into a higher frequency, because the unhealed parts of us are not going, they're not allowed to go into the higher frequencies. It just doesn't exist there. And that's our destiny. That's our blueprint.
I know. I often say that as we move forward, the doorway is narrowing. And so you can't bring that baggage with you. You have to let it go and, you know, take yourself through the doorway. How do we do
that?
And
that's a process of inside out. Mm-hmm. And it is the relationship with self. You know, it's not something you're going to bring from outside in. It's from inside out that this is going to happen. But I interrupted you. You were going to ask a question.
No, I'm asking you a question. How do we facilitate that? How do we, you know, let go of all those dysfunctionalities that are no longer serving us? How do we try to get people to wake up and realize that you are truly a divine being, that lack, limitation, fear, doubt, all of these things aren't who you truly are?
We do it by simply being it ourselves, and the resonance of that being allows people through resonant causation to, through their discernment, connect with that or not. It's not mm-hmm. that we have to force anything upon them. Mm-hmm. For the ones who really resonate with us, being the message as much as we can be, gravitates toward that higher frequency. It's like an entrainment process. We will innately go to the highest vibration within the room. So if we can be as high as we can, then that allows, that resonance allows others to attract around us. Now, as you know, because you've spoken to Jeff Fasano, one of my partners in the Asia News Network, and you'll probably mm-hmm. at some point in time connect with Joel Anastasia, my other partner, we have programs and teachings and seminars and webinars within the Asia News Network that teaches that healing process of self in order to allow the ascension process to take place, to answer your question. Mm-hmm. And all of that is fifth-dimensional teaching. It's from Archangel Gabriel, it's from Archangel Michael, it's from various other realms that really give us the tools to finally heal ourselves once and for all.
Yes, I know. I had Jeff on several weeks ago, and we spoke about the five agreements that Archangel Michael gave. They were absolutely perfect and beautiful. So,
let me just mention that we're teaching the five agreements right now. Starting Halloween night, the 31st, will be agreement number one, World Service. For those who are listening that are interested in being a part of this on a teleconference, just go into the Angel News website, theangelnewsnetwork.com, and you can just lock into that teleconference and take that teaching and take that download. And all the audios and the transcriptions of those teachings are on the website.
Lovely. So let's get back into this permanent seventh golden age.
Mm-hmm.
So is it promised to us? Is it guaranteed? I have a lot of questions because I know the audience does. And so, mm-hmm. you know, people talk about the earth, a new earth appearing, and all mm-hmm. sorts of different scenarios, as I'm sure you're very familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
What is guidance? What are the higher frequencies sharing that this golden age are? Explain it in more detail.
Okay. The planet goes through 26,000-year cycles where the poles, north and south poles, flip.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Within the 26,000-year cycles, there are 2,000-year cycles. What happened 2,000 years ago? This Christ consciousness being, this little Jewish guy named Jesus, came along and taught, love one another. which we still haven't sort of been able to activate.
You think?
We haven't quite got that yet. And so we're still trying to figure out this balance between the masculine and feminine energy and how to build communities of equality, harmony, and balance. And, you know, you see some inklings of it taking place with women's rights, with the racial rights, with recently the gay rights. Everyone is, you know, we're sort of getting a little bit that if we aren't all in some form of equality, to think the system isn't going to work.
You know, that in itself is so sad that we all have to fight to just be, that this world, this society has chosen to find differences in because of one's sexuality or color or any of these things that simply don't matter. It's such a sad statement that here we are still trying to balance something as so simple as being a divine individual.
Well, rather than seeing it as sad, I'm going to just move back and say, okay, let's see it as how we're choosing to learn. And we often learn what is through what is not.
Okay.
So here we are, we've gotten as far away from source into separation and duality and confrontation as we can get. We've gone about as far as we can go.
Mm.
Okay. Now, let's just talk about why all this diversity is here for a second. All this diversity is here because we were seeded by 12 different star systems, which is unique for most planets. Most planets are affected or seeded by one star system. So we have all these different star systems that came into this planet, which I call the University of the Love Aversity. I call Earth. The Love Aversity is the word that I sort of made up in a lot of my books.
And if you would you name those, like the Palladians, the Sirians?
Yeah, the Palladians, the Arcturians, the Sirians is the Stargate, you know, the Lyrians. And there's actually three or four of them that haven't even been identified yet.
Okay.
But just, and think of the importance of the number 12 in our world. You know, 12 hours in a day, you know, 12 months in a year, the zodiac, you know, all the, mm-hmm. how important 12 is. So we have all these systems. So what did that do? It gave us the diversity of races, nationalities, languages, different religions. So it gave us all of these different ways to be diversified. And through that, we often separated ourselves because of the differences, but the whole plan, the whole blueprint, if you will, of the planet is so that through all that diversity, we will come together in oneness and see the diversity as an aspect of the oneness. Okay, there's the core issue for the planet, and that's where we're in now. And we're almost getting there. You know, we're not there, but we're almost getting there. But mm-hmm. we're sort of figuring out that, you know, with the Spring Awakening in the Middle East, with women's rights, and none of it's equal yet, none of it, but it's a beginning of it. And you look at the Founding Father Papers of America, and you see that all of those were divinely inspired to the people who created what's called America, but they aren't there yet, but the blueprint within them is there.
Okay.
So that's why it's all there, and we're still trying to figure out, okay, how can we truly use that Christ consciousness thing that came in again 2,000 years ago? This is the final 2,000-year cycle, going back mm-hmm. to the 26,000 and the 2 in it. So mm-hmm. we had the Piscean Age going into the Aquarian Age with the Christ consciousness coming in through this dude named Jesus, right? And now we're in the final throes. Now, some people are going to make this transformation into higher frequencies sooner than that, but some will need the whole 2,000 years to affect it. Does that help you?
Absolutely. And so, that is...
So we just have to accept with compassion mm-hmm. and forgive ourselves of all the ways that we're learning, okay? All right, I chose to be black. I chose to be gay. I chose to be a woman. Whatever I chose to be that allowed me to have the experience that I'm having, so that I won't be that way. And we all have something within us that there's parts of society in the past and partially in the present can still judge and shame and blame and try to separate. All of us.
Absolutely.
There's none of us that has everything. If you stop and think about it, there's none of us that has everything that everybody needs to be totally accepted. and so we're waking up and getting this, oh, God, we're just... Oh, we are one, but we're just diversified versions of the same thing.
Of the same thing.
And if we could remember that we've been all those things in every incarnational cycle, that we've been women, we've been men, we've been black and white, we've been gay, we've been straight, we've been fat, we've been thin, we've been everything there is to be.
The oppressor and the oppressed. I mean, we've been it all.
I mean, a lot of people choose to have a black experience because they were a slave master in a previous lifetime. See where I'm headed with this?
Oh, yeah.
So it's all when you can sort of see the divine essence of it all and the sort of the miracle and the majesty of it, then we can get more into accepting it with compassion and forgiving how we're having to choose to learn.
You know, and right here is such an amazing point, because a lot of times people often say, especially in my line of work as a transformational life coach, I would never have chosen those parents. I would never have chosen these experiences. And I say, what do you say to that?
What do I say to that is take ownership that you did.
Yes.
And through the ownership of it, you release victimhood. Through the ownership of it. When I work with women who are sexually abused, and 60-70% of the women on this planet have been sexually abused at some point. It's a huge number.
Wow.
If you can explain and take ownership of everything that you're experiencing, it totally dissipates the victimhood aspect of it, and it self-empowers the individual. Because I'm also a transformative therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And the freedom to transform is to take ownership of everything that happens as a way that you're choosing to learn on some particular level, whether you have conscious memory of it or not. And some of the things can be pretty hard to accept.
True.
I mean, if you're 6 years old being raped by your uncle or your father, that's tough duty.
Exactly.
This is tough stuff. But when you really look at traditional addictive therapy or sexual abuse therapy and you realize it's really not helping too many people, I believe the key component within it that's missing is ownership, and that through ownership of everything, it's self-empowering.
Indeed it
is. And then you can make another choice of how to learn.
Exactly. Understanding that you manifested those experiences up to this point. Now, if we can change our perception, we can change our vibration, our thoughts, and get it, then we can tweak everything and now begin to paint a new picture, because we are the creator of it.
Bingo. There it is. If we can just accept how powerful we are, take responsibility, and see the relationship of responsibility and consequence in relationship to self, then we're on the path to free ourselves.
Mm. You know what? My next question is interesting. Where did we come from? So if we have these 12 different groups of beings that seeded us, Where did we come from? I mean, was there?
None of us are from here. Mm-hmm. So let's start with that. We're all ETs. But what is happening?
Well, you know, I love that.
Okay. All the years I was working with George Lucas, and I was thinking, one day I woke up as director of marketing of the student, and I said, holy shit, this stuff is real. This really happened, you know. And I said to George one time, I said, why don't you just take ownership that this stuff is real, you know, and not fiction? Because later when I started connecting with these frequencies, I realized the Intergalactic Federation existed, that a lot of these places that he talks about in, quote, fiction were real, and, you know. But all of these 12 systems, we're all now super mutts. We've all intermingled. We've intermarried. So we're all components of these 12 systems. Okay. So, but you can energetically determine what was your monadic or your original point of origin, what star system it was, or what galaxy it was. Okay. And now we're even learning that there's a universe and a multiverse. So we're learning that, you know, that there's a whole lot more to creation than we ever even imagined. We learned that there was a solar system and planets within it. Then we learned there were other galaxies with solar systems. And then we learned there was a universe with a lot of galaxies in it. And now we're learning there are a lot of universes with the universes in it. So it's sort of endless.
So we
all came here as a part of our soul plan. Let's go back to soul plan for a second. Okay. To be on this thing, which I call the Loverversity, which we call Planet Earth, which you call Mother Gaia, to come here, to have this experience, to bring all these different diversities together, to go back into oneness. So the question is, why did we do this? And the answer is, we did it so now, when we finish this whole process of ascension that we are intended and blueprinted to finish up the next 2,000 years, to go out into the universe to be the master teachers of creation, really being the creator, and going to different planets and going to different galaxies that are in different evolutionary paths, not unlike the process we've gone through, to be the master teachers of it, because we've experienced it and gone through it, and we'll have a conscious memory of every life, the thousands of lifetimes that we've had in this on this planet, in this frequency. That's the why.
Yes, and that's beautiful. Oh, my gosh.
There's the why. Isn't that wonderful? That every single person, all 6 or 7 or 9 billion of us that are here, whether we're aware of it or not, made up a mind to come here to eventually be a master teacher. So let's talk about the people who, through their freedom of choice and freedom of will, say, I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're just going to go somewhere. They'll be transported, teletransported, to another galaxy, to another solar system, where they can take all the time they need to get to where they need to get. But for those of us who want to do it here, want to go through the process on this particular planet, we will do that.
So what does the process look like for the Earth? So the Earth is going through a shift. So basically it will be a polar shift, and at the end of that we'll have ascended?
We will go in, the planet has reached her divine destiny to become a body of light, let's say a star. Okay. So thus in turn, everything upon and within her body will be a being of light in order to be here. And that's what's happening. We all came from light.
Mm-hmm.
We return to light. So that's the process. So the planet, no matter how many polar shifts in between, say in this particular final 2,000-year cycle, no matter how many polar shifts we have, it's all in preparation for us returning to being a body of light. But it's the planet that signaled it. It's Gaia's time. It's Earth's time to be that. That's why you see, look up into the night sky tonight. All of those stars went through something similar to what we're going through. There's the majesty of the whole thing.
It's amazing, isn't it? Absolutely.
Isn't it wonderful?
Amazing. It truly is. You know, and I've shared with you some of my experiences, and I tell you, it's just so amazing and such a blessing to be aware and to have the experiences that I've had, because I feel and know everything you're saying to be truth. Because of the experiences and what they've been showing me since I was 12. And so, wow,
yeah, and
it's
wonderful. It isn't because Philip's saying so. It's because it's through your own resonance discernment. If you resonate with it, and you then you'll apply it. If you don't, throw it out the window. Let me just read this one quick poem from this book I did called Sacred Poetry and Mystical Messages. And what this was, I downloaded all this poetry in a rapid fire, and I realized it was the blueprint for exactly what we're talking in place. So poem 82, there's 116 poems in this thing that came out at me like, I call it cosmic diarrhea. We are one. As soon as we realize we're a collection of soul connections, then duality and separation will simply be sent away. We shall know we are surely one old soul who has never really been sold into separation. This vicious veil of separation is finally to be lifted. We are being released from duality that never had any reality. We are one divine soul, old in our role of consciousness and love. Every creation molecule knows it's all been a silly ridicule until now. And I just love how they, you know, and I said when they started downloading it, I said, well, why do you want it in poetry? You know, because I've always written in narrative or in screenplays. And they said, well, that's the way people can go in and be involved with it.
Absolutely. You can feel it.
And that's the mission of the Angel News Network, is to bring these messages of these divine power realms to the earth to contribute to our spiritual growth and ascension by raising our consciousness and the vibration of the world and teaching us how to do it. Mm-hmm. None of this is from a human mind. And that's the hard part. Like, I lecture at universities and I work within the established medical community. And the hardest thing for these people to realize is, oh my God, this didn't come from a human mind.
Wow.
About a couple of months ago, I'm down here in Southeast Florida right now. And the museum of art here is owned by Nova Southeast University. So you have a university owning a museum, right? So you've got an educational institution and an established world-class museum. So these are all PhDs, right? They're anthropologists, they're art curators. They're right out of, I got to go get the PhD mode. And one of the board members is a private client of mine. And we decided, well, I'll do an evening. They had a pre-Inca exhibit, but they couldn't figure out where all these artifacts, what they meant. They couldn't figure out the lack of language. And I said, well, let's have an evening. We'll create an ancient temple, a pre-Inca temple, and I'll go into trance. And we'll just connect with these people. They still exist in another frequency, and have them answer all your questions.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that, and it just was a precedent-setting situation for an educational and a cultural museum to allow someone in that was going to bring in wisdom from a source other than a human mind.
How did they receive that?
Some were threatened, some were intrigued by it, and some knew it as truth. So you had all three.
That's amazing. So you know what? That brings me to, what does it mean to be a channel of higher realms then? And how did you come about receiving this gift?
It's a part of your soul plan. And what you learn very quickly within it is everyone's preparing to be it. So if anyone who ever does this seems to be special or seems to, it's sort of like the worship the guru stuff, mm-hmm. get away from them as fast as you can. Because all this is, I'm not being or doing anything that everyone isn't capable of. They're just not aware that they're capable of it yet. Or they don't know that they can do it yet. It's sort of like going to a gym and working a muscle that's never been worked. You can develop it. But it started off with me realizing I had a psychic ability, which is astral, which is fourth dimensional, and then moving into a higher frequency, because I was trained by fifth-dimensional entities, and that's where the teaching and the learning is.
Okay.
And the astral, the psychic, is just a reflection of what's going on here. And it's not that I'm passing judgment on those. It's great, because that teaches people there's something other than this.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's part of your soul plan to connect with this and really be a way shore and bring this out into the world, it will happen. And that's what happened to me.
Absolutely. Yeah, I understand that. I know for me, the visitations from beings, it's like, oh, you're here. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they show up. If that's a part of the plan, they're coming.
And the first thing the human mind wants to do is say, oh, you're just making this up. This is just a delusion. And then all of a sudden you start reading the material that comes through you and you go, that didn't come from me.
Exactly. Those aren't even my words.
I'm not capable of writing what's in manpower, God power. I'm not capable of writing that sacred poetry. I'm not capable of creating the channel messages that are in Coming Home to Lemuria. Mm-hmm. I just finished another book called The Happiness Handbook, and the subtitle is Being Present is the Present, is the Gift.
It's the gift.
And they did 700 single little simple phrases in order to create presence, in order to become conscious. There's no way I could have, have the capacity.
But that is so important that we understand that we must move into the now moment. You know, there's a wonderful movie I always talk about. It's called The Peaceful Warrior with Nick Nolte. And he said, what time is it? Now. Where am I? Here. And boy, I mean, that just hits home how important it is to understand, to become mindful in this now present moment here. So, yeah, I can understand them giving you 700 separate little, lines because it's that important.
Yeah, because the past and the future will eventually be in the now.
Correct.
The past was once in the now. The future was once in the now. So, and this is a hard thing for us to get our heads wrapped around. But I realized it was a natural evolution to the teaching I was receiving. Because we're all teaching what we need to learn, right? We're all writing about what we need to learn. So I realized this was just part of my, whipping up my downloading and uploading that I needed to get through. And then I have the ability to bring it out into the world.
And to share. So let's get back to your books, because I want to make sure that we go over them before we run out of time. So your first one, was it Coming Home to Lemuria, an Ascension Adventure Story? Share a little bit about what that was about, please.
All right, let me just read something in the preface.
Okay.
Coming Home to Lemuria is an adventure story about a small group of travelers who made a sacred journey to Mount Shasta in Northern California under the spiritual guidance of a talkative archangel, Michael, and a very wise high priest from Lemuria, Adama. It's all right with me if you don't believe everything I'm about to tell you. I don't need you to believe me, but please do enjoy the adventure. Some people already know portions of what we learned before and during our adventure. So many readers will know that this is what is about to be described is true. Please know there's no need in me to convince you. That would be me trying to control you, which I have no need to do. In my heart and my direct experience, I know that everything I share in this book is true, even if the mind cannot always accept it. The mind believes, the heart knows. And I was in a used bookstore, or sort of a thrift shop type of place, and I never even knew what Lemuria was. And these books on Lemuria started falling off the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
And hitting me, and I pushed them back and came back 2 days later, and the same books fell on me again. I said, okay, all right, let me pay attention to this. And then all of a sudden I started connecting with this priest in the inner earth in Lemuria, and he started wrapping out this whole story of what Lemuria is. Then I connected with other people who were channeling these frequencies and started reading their books, people like Diane Robbins, people like Aurelio Louise Jones. And then as time went on, all of a sudden I started getting these instructions. You are being asked to put together the sacred journey, to have a group serve as proxies for humanity to affect the shift of the planet.
Mm.
And I went, oh, my God, this is wild. So I just started taking it all down. And eventually the whole trip, Archangel Michael got involved via Jeff Fasano, who you've met with, and we started doing all this personal process and training to prepare ourselves for doing these rituals, very elaborate, specified rituals on this particular vortex, this portal called Mount Shasta, in order to affect the shift we're going through now.
Mm-hmm.
And after the whole thing was over, I was asked to really put it down in this book for spiritual posterity.
Beautiful.
And that's what, and every ritual in there and everything that we did is in a narrative. It's a story. But you do get enough of the rituals to really understand what they were and why they were. And that's what that book is about. And now we've adapted it into a stage play. And I want to do it with my film background. It's, we know the movie Avatar. When I was working with Lucasfilms, Jim Cameron, who was the director on Avatar, was one of our staff directors. And I was thinking as I finished up this book on Lemuria, I thought, oh, my God, there's something more exciting right here on this very planet. We don't have to go to another galaxy. there's something in the core of this planet that is amazing and miraculous as anything in any other galaxy. So let's just do that.
Exactly. Yeah, Lemuria, Mount Shasta is very interesting. The inner beings, the Lemurians, quite interesting. I know I was a Lemurian priestess, so trust, I understand.
Yeah, we were all there. Mm-hmm. And this little preface goes on to say the purpose of this book, Coming Home to Lemuria, is to reveal that an unseen civilization coexists with ours on this planet and explain the purpose of its inhabitants in relationship to us. For a very long time, humankind has not been told the entire truth of who we are in our history. Thus, much of what we think is true about the world and ourselves is not. And it just goes on to tell the story.
Lovely.
About
and
how
that's available. Is that available on the Angel News Network?
Yeah, all these things are available on the Angel News Network. They're available on Amazon. They're available in New Leaf, who's a wholesale distributor. And you can get them in ebooks very inexpensively.
Wonderful. Now, the next book, Sacred Poetry and Mystical Messages.
Mm-hmm.
So is that all poetry? They're all sort of messages. Do you have something from that one you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, they're. I read one of them, but they are. I'm going to read this one.
Okay.
Which takes about a minute and a half.
And you know, it's so interesting as we're having this conversation, Philip. I don't know if you can tell. Boy, the energy is really strong because I can just feel it coming in.
Yeah, it's palpable. Isn't it cool?
Yeah, it's
lovely. I just love this when we join together like this. I so care about people, and I know you do too, and
yes.
the work that you're doing. And when we join in community like this, it is my greatest joy. So this was called A Rage Within. What mysterious opiate origin lies deep within humanity's ancestral rage? From whence its ancient source that can kill and conquer, we ask? It lives deep within us all, and yet it can frighten us when it reveals its cruel countenance in duality and confrontation. What is the cause, knowing its effect, of this monstrous force, we ask? The moment is upon us to understand, release, and heal the ugly anger from our being that has kept us imprisoned so long. Dear souls, this ragged rage comes from our so many golden ages lost. Lost due to our mighty minds that thought they could control creation, replace it, be it. A fierce force came upon us that could not, would not accept and trust our divinity and connection to creation whence once we could. As humanity went its own way deep within, we knew we had lost something most precious. We began and became enraged as self. At self for being so selfish, so foolish. This self-rage has reflected out and created the much madness in our world for millennium. Throughout the eons, we have carried this self-sabotaging sense and inflicted it upon self, each other, and our unconditionally loving home, Mother Earth. Dear souls, the time has come to accept with compassion, thus forgive how we have chosen to learn through our freedom of will and choice. It is time to reconnect with the creation, to know we are a divine aspect of it. We have traveled as far from the truth as possible. Let us now turn around and head home.
Mm.
When now at last again we consciously connect with creation, our rage shall ramble away like an angry child replaced by cosmic love as adults. For only through our connection to creation can we embrace our final golden age in service to all there is. Are we ready to release our furious face and create a world knowing we are God experiencing self? An equal, balanced world without the angry me, replaced by the loving we.
Wow.
A rage within.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Now, there are, as I said earlier, these are all blueprints for this ascension process we're talking about. And in the back of the book are 20 messages from the inner earth, from the Lemurians who wanted to continue a teaching from coming home to Lemuria. So mm-hmm. I just combined the two. That's in the back of the book. And
wow.
They talk about our sexuality. They talk about where we came from. They talk about where we're headed. They talked about the things we need to heal to move forward.
Lovely. What one thing do you think we need to do to heal to move forward? What was their main gift that they said?
To learn to love self.
To love self.
To learn to love self. To accept that we are divine beings, a reflection, aspects, diversifications of creation. To accept with compassion everything that we're experiencing through our ownership of it is simply a way we're choosing to learn. Even the wars, even the duality, the separation. And forgive that and move through it and not have to learn that way again.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty powerful message. And now your most recent book, Manpower, God Power. What are some finer points in that one that you'd like to share with us?
Well, that's sort of a continuum of everything that I've been wrapped up in, but I am going to read one chapter called Archangelic Actions,
okay.
The intro to it. I won't go through the whole thing because there's a lot in here. And I peppered it with some of the poetry in the chapter. This is chapter, 13. And the poem that begins it, beautiful beings who love and support the ever-evolving human space can be called higher beings of love, light, and grace. And the chapter title is Archangelic Actions. During these extraordinary times of change on our planet and within humanity, many higher realms are weighing in to support our personal and planetary shifts. Such higher beings include ascended masters, who were once human, star beings who seeded our world, inner of civilizations who once lived upon the surface of this planet, and archangels hovering above, just to name a few. At this precious time, all these forces and more are joining together in love and support to assist us in creating a new reality of unity and weak consciousness as man and God power become one. The world cannot and will not continue as the past, or we should not survive as a species. But there is a grand plan that we do survive and move into higher realms of being beyond our imagination at this time. We shall now focus on one of these divine beings, Archangel Michael, with the mighty God power sword teaching us to move from our mind, which believes, to our heart that knows. And then I just go into a channeled communication with Michael because I have the gift that I can actually sit down and ask questions and have them answered. And there's
wow.
a lot of that. There's a lot of that in the book. We have a YouTube television show called Divine Discussions. There's 7 or 8 of those transcriptions of the shows. And incredible beings like the Keepers of Creation, who I had never heard of, came through with these incredible teachings of how our whole chakra system is being aligned and new chakras are coming in.
New chakras, very interesting. You know, the other day, and I guess they've been working on it, and I hadn't even known it existed, soul star chakra. And I'm like, oh, my soul star chakra, okay. So, yeah, lots of new things up there.
Well, we've got 7 chakras, so we're connecting with the higher, the 8th. The 9th is the lunar, the solar. The 10th is the solar system, the 11th is the galactic, and the 12th is the universe, and the 13th is the multiverse. Now, all those are coming down in, reflecting star systems that seeded us, which as they integrate and expand our chakra system, call it soul or whatever, what's happening is it's awakening our spiritual DNA, which has been called junk DNA, and reconfiguring our DNA and RNA from carbon to crystalline,
mm-hmm.
connecting us back to source permanently. That's the process.
You know, and I have to share with you what the experience for me feels like, and then maybe you can add some light or shed some light to it. And so, you know, I find myself pulsing and vibrating almost all the time. And then I don't know how often it happens, but on a regular basis, I will be laying there, sitting there, it doesn't matter. And as I'm feeling this pulsing and vibrating, I will feel me expand. I will actually feel, and it's so hard to describe, but I feel myself grow past my body, and I can feel out my feet, out everywhere, like I'm stretching and moving out past me. It's such an interesting sensation. Any insight as to that?
Well, remember, as we've said, the foundation is moving from a dense carbon existence, which we have been for millennia, into the crystalline, the lighter frequency, which is going to allow us to be on a body of light, because the planet's moving into light. Remember, we're talking about that. So we have to move into light to be here.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just talk about the components of us. Our components are our emotional, mental, and physical etheric bodies, right?
Sure.
It's downloaded into the physical.
Mm-hmm.
It's how we feel and emote something, thus the thought that creates the physical symptom. So there's the science, if you will. There's the energetic dynamics of what we experience. Now, depending on each person's individual soul plan, and we're all unique, we're all individuated, how we experience this process of the expansion of the emotional, because our thoughts and our emotions create a reality all the time, what type of sensation we experience within our soul plane would be unique. So when you're working with someone and they're having their unique experience, you might be, as you experienced it physically, but it emanates from the emotional body and the mental body, because the densest expression of it and the last expression of it and the necessitated expression of it is the physical body, because it houses all this stuff.
Okay.
So that's what we're going through, and a lot of people are going through a lot of physical experiences. Now, we have something called ego defenses, right, which are created around our wounds. Okay, and we won't get into that, so that's a whole other teaching, but it's important to be able to master what the ego defenses are and around specific wounds. But depending upon your defense, that will determine whether you monadically or primarily experience something emotionally, physically, or mentally. I'm configured to experience things physically. So there are days I can't walk because of the integration process I'm going through.
Mm-hmm.
And through my consciousness, I know that. You know, if I went to the doctor, they might say, oh, you have multiple sclerosis. Oh, you have the onset of Parkinson, or whatever they might come up with. But I have the insight to know that this is how, because of my defense, I'm experiencing this integration of these higher energies.
Yes, I would have to agree. That certainly is the case for me. Everything is physical. Now, you said before that these 12 races that seeded us, and that you could tell from what monadic or seed race you come from.
But they're not races. They're not races. They're star systems.
Okay. Okay.
But they have been on this particular planet. They've been experienced. One of the demonstrations of them is racial.
Okay.
But there are other aspects of each star system. But we have the diversity of race on this planet because of the multiplicity of the star systems that seeded us. Go ahead.
Okay. So, how would you, if someone wanted to know from what system they originated, is there a way of finding that out?
Absolutely. You have to connect with a fifth-dimensional frequency. I'll tell you who's really good at it. It's Gabriel. Gabriel is sort of the database of information. You know, Michael's about moving us from our mind to heart. Uriel is about the interrelationship of everything on the planet. Raphael's about a healing process, and those are the four archangelic forces that are sort of responsible for this particular planet and this particular solar system. And I find that Gabriel is a really good database of answering specific questions like that. So find a really good trans channel or a powerful conscious channel and ask the question.
There you go. Do you have any closing thoughts that you'd like to share with us?
For us to be joyful about what's happening. And I mean, it looks so chaotic out there with everything that's going on politically in the world, you know, the government getting shut down, a lot of the world, it's war. We're still not in equality, harmony, and balance. You know, we don't have the masculine and the feminine thing balanced yet. And just accept that we're in process, and this is how we chose to learn. And through our ownership of accepting this and knowing that there is light at the end of the tunnel, but we just can't jumpstart to get to the end. We go through this personal process. We go through this relationship with self, this process of inside out to get to the final destination. So we've been guided with thousands of people like myself and like yourself. They're teaching and guiding people where we're headed. And can you imagine trying to figure things out without this wisdom?
No.
You know, and we're so fortunate to have this perspective and consciousness on why things are happening. Otherwise, we could just say it's all gone to hell in a handbag, and who cares? Just give up.
Exactly. But because we know the truth of it all, you know, it gives us strength to continue.
And to honor your soul plan, here you are, being this wonderful conveyor of truth and wisdom and light, and having different people on your show and the work that you privately and publicly do, and just celebrate that joyfully. It's just so important that we do that within ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Love ourselves, right?
Mm.
and honor ourselves and to have compassion for ourselves.
In order to forgive, we have to accept with compassion. We have to know what we're accepting. Then we go into our heart space and we have compassion for that acceptance, and then that allows forgiveness. I can't just say, I forgive you. I've got to consciously know what I'm accepting, under what heartfelt compassion that allows me to get to that forgiveness. Then I'm really complete in the forgiveness.
Repeat that again, because that's an important thing to really get.
Here's the formula. Acceptance plus compassion equals forgiveness.
Okay.
Acceptance plus compassion equals forgiveness. You have to know. You know, we so flippantly use language without the impeccability of the word. We, you know, when we say, oh, I just forgive you, that's it, I'm over it. Well, if you don't consciously really know, well, what is it within that person? That's probably a reflection of something unhealed in yourself, by the way.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
Whether I'm accepting or not accepting. And if I'm accepting, am I really going through my heart and saying, I fully, fully accept that within her and within myself? Because I can't judge and blame or not accept her without first not accepting and judging and blaming myself. That's the importance of the relationship with self. And then have that go into forgiveness, and it's complete.
Wonderful. Boy, there's so much more we need to talk about.
And we will.
Yes, we will. I know. Definitely, you come on again, I think, in January. I have some more openings. So we will connect, hopefully, before then and continue this conversation and have you back in January.
Yeah. And if I'm given an MP3 of this, I can put it on our website and have our social media publicist, Omar Prince in New York City, blast this all over the world.
Sounds like a plan. And so that is the angelnewsnetwork.com.
Mm-hmm.
And your books are Coming Home to Lemuria, An Ascension Adventure Story, Sacred Poetry and Mystical Messages, Man Power, God Power, and, of course, The Happiness Handbook.
Coming soon.
Coming soon. And so I would invite... Sorry?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was saying, and I would invite all of our listeners to go out and get these books. Certainly, lots of growth will come from feeling the energy of it. I know for me, as I was listening to you read from it, I could feel the energy of it. And so I know how powerful those words are.
And my brother's Joel Anastasi, and he has an incredible series of books. The Second Coming that he wrote, where he interviewed Archangel Gabriel, I think is one of the greatest masterpieces I've ever read. And Jeff Fasano, who you're connecting with, his Journey of the Awakened Heart is a simple, so empowering book. I'm so honored to be in the company of brothers who are on the same path and to connect with remarkable feminine energy like your own. And I just feel like together and all the listeners that I don't know, that we're going to build this community of equality, harmony, and balance. I just know it.
Well, you know, and that's a wonderful thing. You know, when you reached out to me after Jeff came on my show, I realized, wow, there's something going on here, right? And nothing is by chance. And I so understand that. And so I hope that this is the beginning of something special, because we have, you know, there's a message that has to be shared with, like you said, the world. And I'm up for it, and I know you're up for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No doubt about it. Can't we feel it? It's palpable.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed it is. Indeed it is.
But this has been fun. This has been fun, and I just loved it. It's been great being with everyone, and to everyone who's listening, thank you.
Thank you. Take care, Philip. We'll talk soon.
Good night, everyone.
Okay. So there you have it, another episode of Affirmations for Living. And you know, of course, Affirmations for Living is all about affirming a better way of living. It's about discovering your true, authentic self. I am here to assist you on your journey. Please reach out to me. Visit my website today, affirmationsforliving.net, or download my app, Awakened. And finally, I am happy to announce my book, You're Not Crazy, Your Awakening, will be available in another week or so. So yay, it's happening. As we feel it, think it, believe it, and vibrate, then it comes into being. So it is coming into being as I speak. Until next time, I wish you love, peace, and happiness. This is Reverend Dr. Edvige. Take care. You've been listening to Affirmations for Living with Edvige. Join us again next week, Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the BBS Radio Network, and visit my Facebook page, download my app, Awakened, and visit my website, affirmationsforliving.net. And remember, be the change that you want to see. Until next time, this is Reverend Dr. Edvige. Namaste.